All right, go ahead tonight and take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And you'll have to put up with me tonight. I'm kind of came down with a cold the other day and my voice is a little raspy and a little raw. But I trust that the Lord will still speak to our hearts tonight. I don't know about you, but I love these kind of days. Just beautiful. Well, maybe not take all year like this, but I could take a lot of days like this and a lot of very enjoyable to be outside. I don't know about if you're like this, but I like to on a day like this, if I have the time, you know, take a few moments and just drive through some country roads. I love maybe going to the south of the church here and just through the rolling hills, kind of just drive around and enjoy and take in the beautiful sunshine. And I don't know if anybody here is like that, but just taking a little time and enjoying the country and the beautiful day that it is. It reminds me of a kind of a funny story that I've heard. George and Barbara Bush were in the presidential limo driving from an event. They were driving on some out-of-the-way back roads, and the driver had to pull over for gas. The old service station owner popped out of the door with his mouth gaping open at the sight of the president's limo sitting in front of his gas pump. When Mrs. Bush saw him through the window, she jumped out of the car, ran up to him, and gave him a great big hug. They talked for a few minutes, and then she got back in the limo. She turned to the President Bush and said, "That's Harry, my old high school boyfriend." George got a big grin on his face and leaned back and said, "So let me get this straight. If you had married him, you'd be the wife of a gas station attendant. But instead, you married me, the most powerful man in the world, and you got to be the First Lady of the United States." Barbara looked back at him with a sparkle in his eye and said, "Oh, George, don't be silly. If I had married him, he would be president." Revelation chapter 2 in your Bible. Let's go ahead and read our text here tonight. And I'll be honest with you, you know, it's been, there's times when a message comes very quickly, and there's times where it's, you know what God wants, but the formation of it and the outline and stuff like that has not always come together the way you want. But when I was given the opportunity to preach, God laid this burden on my heart, this passage, and I sense it's very fitting right now for our church, and I trust that the Spirit of God will help us to see tonight what we need to see from Revelation chapter 2 in God's Word. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." We have here a letter, the first letter to the seven churches, the letter to the church at Ephesus. And we don't have time to dig through each part of this message, of this passage of Scripture, but I think there's some important truths that I think I want to pull out tonight that I think we can find similarities with our church here tonight. And you know, only God can honestly look at a church and see where a church is at. But you know what, I think if as we look at this, we'll find some similarities that are very close between our church, McQuonigal Baptist Church, and the church of Ephesus. And before we do that, let's just ask the Lord for His blessing on this time. Lord, we do need You. God, would You open our eyes, Spirit of God, be our teacher, and show us truths from Your Word. I pray that each person here tonight, each Christian, would humbly come before You and allow the Spirit of God to teach them and show them areas of need in their life. Lord, we're all needy here tonight, and we need You to work in our life. So God, I pray that You would use the message, work despite a human vessel, Lord. Would You simply work tonight in the hearts of each person here tonight, that the work of this ministry would be furthered and prospered. And Lord, we need Your help. Would You speak and use me during this time? Now I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have here the message, the letter to the church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus. One of the things I want us to see here tonight is this church was a church diligent in service. A church diligent in serving the Lord. And I've been in a lot of churches and I've seen a lot of different churches, and very few, I would have to say, are as involved and are serving as this church. God has greatly blessed us. There's so many different aspects, so many different ways that we can serve the Lord here in this ministry. And the Church of Ephesus, that was one thing, commendation that God had, Christ had for the church at Ephesus, is that they were diligent in serving the Lord. Look at verse 2 there. It says, I know thy works. He said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and have not fainted. And they were diligent in serving the Lord. They were giving of themselves. They were doing all they could to serve the Lord while they were investing in others. They were busy in the ministry. They were in church every time the doors were open. They were doing all they could for the Lord. And they were diligent. They were busy serving God. And this is something that God commends them for. He was thankful. He pointed this out before everything else. He pointed out that they were diligent serving the Lord. I'd have to say I see a similarity with our church. We have so many people that faithfully serve God. We have so many ways to serve. We have so many opportunities, so many ministries, and so many people that give of themselves. And I don't, not God, but maybe God would say of our church that they're diligent. He knows our works. He knows all that we're involved in. You know, we have our kids club ministry. We have our daycare, our bus ministry, soul winning, set free, VBS, our academy, serving here at church. We have choir. We have music. Involvement. We have nursing home ministries. We have all these things that people are busy serving the Lord with. And God commended them for that. It can be a great comfort to us tonight because God says, I know thy works. You know what? Tonight your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You serve God. You give of your time. You sacrifice. You give to the work of the ministry. It's not in vain. God remembers it. He knows your works. He knows your labors. He knows everything that you give, that you sacrifice for the work of the ministry. And it's not in vain, as the Word of God says. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God remembers your service. That's a great comfort to us tonight, a great encouragement that what we're doing isn't forgotten. Maybe we're involved in a little part of the ministry that we think nobody knows about it. Nobody cares about it, but I'm doing that little job. But you know what? God remembers that. He knows. And while this at the same time is a great encouragement and comfort to us, it's also a fearful, solemn reminder that God is aware and cognizant of every detail in our church. You know that ministry you're involved in? God's aware of that. He knows what goes on. He knows what's not pleasing to Him. He knows in our church what isn't glorifying to God. He knows what it is about your life that isn't pleasing and honoring God and everything. You know, he knows what it is about you as a member of our church at home that you do that you know isn't pleasing to God. He knows about it. It's not unseen by God. And while this is a great comfort that he knows and he remembers, it's also a fearful, solemn reminder that God sees everything and God is aware. So we have here this church at Ephesus was busy. They were diligent serving the Lord. And wow, what a church that God has given us, a people that are diligent serving the Lord. You think maybe tonight you're thinking, well, maybe that doesn't include me. Well, you know what? There's plenty of opportunities. There's a great community that needs to be reached with the gospel. There's plenty of opportunities for you to get involved in the work of the Lord and start serving here in this ministry and get busy being diligent serving the Lord. He says, I know thy works. And at the end of verse 3, it says, and for my name's sake hast labored and not fainted. They were faithfully serving the Lord. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. We'll look at a familiar verse there. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Here the church of Ephesus, they suffered persecution. They were mocked. And they suffered for my name's sake, has labored, and has not fainted. They were faithfully serving the Lord. They were a church diligent in service. And I think that that could be said of our church. A church diligent serving the Lord. But we see here a second thing that I see as a common, or something else that I want to mention from the church of Ephesus that I think I see a similarity with our church right now. A church with one condemnation. A church with one condemnation. They were a church diligent serving the Lord. And God remembered that. He spoke of that. That was the first thing he mentioned. But then it goes on to verse 4 and mentions one condemnation about the church of Ephesus. And in recent days, God's been challenging my heart and giving me a sense that our church is in this same boat. And let's look at that one condemnation. It says in verse 4, it says, nevertheless. So he mentions these great things about the church of Ephesus. And he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. He had something against them. He couldn't fully endorse them. He couldn't fully praise them for everything that was going on. He says, nevertheless, I have something against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. One, a church with one condemnation. You know, maybe you're a parent here tonight and you have had children maybe in the school or in Sunday school and you have a teacher come and give you a report about your student. And they, you know, try to be positive at first and then they say, but, and then you hear that but word and it's like, eh, okay, what's coming next? And you know that something wasn't the way it should have been. Well, that's in a sense what Christ is doing here. All these good things about the church at Ephesus, but he had one thing against them. There was one thing about the church that he had to condemn them for. And it says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You know, it wasn't simply enough that they were diligent serving the Lord. They were busy, involved in the work of the ministry. They were doing all that they were supposed to. That wasn't good enough. They had strayed. Their love for God was taken away. They began to drift. Their love for God began to drift away from God. And it could have been a multitude of things, but whatever it was, they began to take their love off of God, and they began to choose other things that began to steal their heart and steal their desires for serving and living and knowing God in a personal way. The sin Christ charged this church with is not having left and forsaken the object of love, but having lost the fervent degree of it that at first appeared. Christ is displeased with his people when he sees them grow remiss and cold toward him. Could it be tonight that many of God's people have left their first love? Tonight, what about you? Have you lost that first love, that excitement, that desire to know God, to seek after him, to be in a vibrant relationship with him, and instead you've turned to just serving God, doing what you're supposed to, involved in the ministries, and you're losing the most important thing of having a relationship with Jesus Christ? You've lost your first love. In many ways, this illustration can be pictured with a husband and a wife. And we've been married just almost five months, but at first, you know, that love is exciting. It's just endless. And but you know, after a while, maybe that love just, you know, you still love each other, but it begins to just wane some. Reminds me of two New England girls worked in a textile factory. Mary went away on a visit of several months, returning and meeting her friend on the street. She asked her, "Maggie, are you working at the same old factory?" "I'm not working at all," burst out Maggie. "I'm married." Doubtless, such a one was busier with her housework than ever she had been at the factory. But she toiled unconscious of the work as such. It was for him. She parted from him with an embrace as he went to work in the morning. And she prepared the evening meal, ever looking out at door or window for his coming. As he neared home, she went to meet him. All her labor was a mere circumstance, swallowed up in her devotion to her husband. But days, weeks, months pass, and she becomes occupied with the details of her housekeeping, of her own life. She prepares just as good meals, keeps the house in as good, perhaps even better order. But she has gradually changed her habit of watching for a husband at night, or going eagerly to meet him. She calls goodbye from somewhere upstairs in the morning instead of holding him fast every moment she can. And so it is with our relationship with Christ. At first, maybe when we first get saved, it's vibrant. We're excited about it. But then we get busy with the things of life, with serving and ministering in the work of God, that our love for him is lessened, that we lose our love for him. And we've lost our first love. Could it be tonight that you have lost your first love? Could it be that you have allowed other things to steal your love for Christ? Friend, what is it tonight that has stole your heart for God, that has stole your love for him, and that vibrancy that you used to have, that love that you used to have and desire for him to fellowship and to commune with him has been lost, and you're just focused maybe on doing what you're supposed to. But it's without that fragrance and without the love and admiration for him. What is it tonight that's swallowed or taken or stolen away your love for Christ? And no longer that first love you had for him, it's gone. You don't have it anymore. What is it that swallowed that or taken it away? You know, maybe there's sin in your life tonight. God cannot be in a close, vibrant relationship with you if there is sin in your life. You know, you need to deal with that. God cannot allow that to go on and for you to have a relationship with him. Sin must be dealt with. Sin must be clearly confessed and taken before God. You know, have you begun to follow after the things of this world? Have you begun to develop a love for maybe pleasure? A love for materialism? You know, if there's one thing I sense in our church right now, it's a love for materialism. It's a love for the temporal. It's a love for the things of this life that aren't going to have any eternal value. And we're getting consumed with the things of this life. We're getting consumed with the cares of this world. And we're losing sight of the eternal. And we're losing our love for God. And yes, we may be busy getting ready for Vacation Bible School. We may be busy getting ready for Kids Club this Friday. We may be busy getting ready for a week at daycare. But we have lost and had our heart stolen and our love stolen from God, our love for God. You know, maybe it's that job you know you should quit. Maybe it's that job you know isn't pleasing to God. Maybe it's that music you listen to that, questionable, but you know it's not right and it's stealing your love for God. You know, maybe it's that dress, the dress you wear, the clothes you wear. You know, I don't know what it is tonight. Maybe it's that job. You're getting involved in that job. You're getting excited and you're making some good money and it's stealing your love for God. And that first love has been taken away. Christ had one condemnation to say about the church at Ephesus. I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. I'm not God, but would he say our church has left its first love? When you come in these doors, do you sense a vibrancy from our young people? Do you sense a vibrancy from our adults to serve God and to fellowship him with him? Is our conversation after and before the service about God? You know, can we come up to a person and say, this is what God's been teaching me. This is what God has been showing me through his word as I've been seeking after him. Or maybe there's an important decision that in your life that you have to make. And, or you know other people have to make. And do you seek after God or is there that communion? Yeah, this is what God's been showing me. I had this important decision and I was seeking God and he began to show me what his will was. You know, what is our conversation? What is the atmosphere of our church like? Is it one that displays God's people having fervent love for him? You know, is our life, is our actions, is our words display to everyone that we have an unmatched love for God? God put this burden on my heart for some time that our church has been lacking. We don't have the love that we used to have. We've been allowing the things of this life to consume us. And we've been getting busy with our jobs. We have been getting busy with important things in life. But they are robbing our love for God. And no longer do we wake up in the morning thinking, God, I got to meet with you today. No longer do we go throughout our day thinking, Lord, speak to me. God, would you give me an opportunity to be a witness to someone. To my coworker. Instead, we go through the day thinking about that next opportunity we're going to have to do something enjoyable, pleasurable that we desire. And our love for God has been lost. Would God have to say of our church tonight that they've lost their first love? Tonight, would God have to say that about your love, about your life, that you've lost your first love? The church here at Ephesus, God could commend them about a lot. But there was one thing that was holding back God's full blessing on their church, on that church. And if our love for God is not what it ought to be, God is going to hold back his full blessing. He can't fully bless us. You know, we're not going to see the souls saved that God wants to see saved. We're not going to have the impact in this community that God wants us to have. We're not going to be the lights like we heard on Wednesday night that we ought to be if we don't have that love for him. If we have been allowing our love to be stolen, to be taken away from God. And tonight it's serious because it impacts eternity. It impacts souls. It impacts all those around us, our church. And if you're not in that first love relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, it's hindering our church. It's hindering God's blessing, his hand upon our church. God gives a plan to Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, how they could have their first love restored. And look at verse 5. He says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen." Was there a time in your life where you just reveled in your walk with God? Throughout the day, you communed with Him. Man, when you got up in the morning, there was such a relationship. You could hear God's voice. And that fellowship that you once had has been taken away. And no longer do you have that right now. It says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Remember and repent and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. He said to remember from whence thou art fallen and to repent. They must repent. They must be grieved and ashamed for their sinful declining and humbly confess it in the sight of God. They must endeavor to recover their first zeal, tenderness, and seriousness, and must pray as earnestly and watch as diligently as when they first set out in their ways of God. You know what? God has a plan for us to restore that first love. He has a plan for us, and He wants us to repent. He wants us to turn and turn back to Him. He doesn't want us to keep going down that path of, you know, seeking after the things of this world, after seeking after the pleasures or materialistic things of this life. He wants us to turn and to seek after Him again. He wants us to turn to remember and repent and do the first works. He wants our relationship, our love for Him to be restored. He wants to restore our heart cry to know God. God wants us to return to our first love tonight. As God's people, He wants to be in that love relationship. He wants us to be in that vibrant relationship with Him. And God called for the church of Ephesus to repent, to turn back. And tonight I think some of God's people need to get right with God. Tonight I think some of God's people need to repent. Tonight some of God's people need to get on this altar and say, God, I've lost that love for You. I've been busy in the work of the ministry, but I've lost that love. I've lost what it's all about You, about Him. Some of God's people tonight need to see that they have been straying far from God. And tonight repent and turn back to God. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 in God's Word. As we're busied with serving God, we need to remember that it's all about knowing Him, that we're doing it for Him. And here we have the account of Martha and Mary. And let's read this. In verse 38, Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. We can be busy with life. We can be busy in serving the Lord, but forget that it's all about knowing Him. Here, Martha and Mary had Jesus in their home. And Martha was cumbered, was busied with serving the Lord. And Mary sat at Jesus' feet because she wanted to know Him. She wanted to hear His words. She didn't want to miss one thing that came out of His mouth. And Martha was busy doing good things, wanting to serve the Lord. But she missed the most important thing. And Jesus rebuked her and said, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Tonight, one thing is needful. And that's for God's people at Mequonago Baptist Church to know Him. To know Him. to sit at Jesus' feet, to hear the words that come from His lips. As we get into God's Word, to hear His voice. As we serve God here in the ministry of this church, to know Him in a better way. And Jesus said, one thing is needful. Tonight, are you focused on 10 things? Tonight, are there 2 things that you're focused on? Christ says there's one thing that's needful. And Mary chose that good thing, which shall not be taken away from her. You know what? Our time that we spend at Jesus' feet, the time we spend in fellowship with Him, will never go to waste. But you know what? Living for the things of this world, they will. They don't have any eternal value. They don't have any eternal weight to them. But you know what? Sitting at Jesus' feet will last and impact eternity. And there's one thing that's needful in your life tonight. There's one thing that's needful. And that's for our love for Jesus Christ to be restored. That's for our love with Him to be brought back to what it ought to be. And that first love that we had for Jesus Christ to be restored. Tonight, have you lost that first love? Have you been drifting? It's time that you get up and get back to where you need to be. It's no reason that God's people should sit and drift away from God. Well, people die and go to hell. And the church of the living God suffers because of it. There's one thing that's needful. Tonight, what's your love relationship with Jesus Christ like? Are there things that are stealing your heart? There are things that are taking away that love for Him. You know, it's interesting. The church of Ephesus, they began to lose their first love. They began to decline. They began to turn from God. And even though they had all these good things that they were doing, they began to go down a pathway that took them away from Jesus Christ. And I believe that path will lead to like the church of Laodicea, where they said, we have need of nothing. We're good. We don't have any problems. Yet they didn't see that they were blind, that they were naked, and all these other things in the sight of God. And tonight we need to wake up and see we got to get back on track with God. Maybe you're a dad here tonight and you've been drifting and your family's suffering because of it. And tonight you can get back on track. You can repent and you can get right with God. Maybe you're a lady here tonight. Maybe you're a single lady. And you need to get back on track with your love for Jesus Christ. Maybe you're a young man here tonight and the cares of this life, the cares of this world are stealing and robbing your heart from God. And all that potential that you have to serve God and to impact eternity and to reach people, thousands of people possibly with the gospel, your life is being wasted for something that's temporal. And your love for Him is gone. You're losing that love for Him. You know, I see some similarities with our church and the church at Ephesus. A good church, serving God, wanting to live for Him, but we've lost that one needful thing. And I think tonight, God's people need to cry back out to God. And we need to start seeking after that one needful thing, that relationship with Jesus Christ. Knowing Him, sitting at His feet and hearing His words and hearing His voice. And allow the things of this life to start being pushed aside as we focus on Jesus Christ. You know, that's what God wants for our church. One thing, that one needful thing. He wants that first love to be restored. Tonight, have you lost your first love? Has it begun to decline, your love for Him? Tonight, you can restore it. God wants that to be restored. And we need it in our church. Because although there's a lot of good things going on, we're losing the most important thing. We're losing that one needful thing. All these other things, they could be set aside. And that one needful thing, knowing Jesus Christ, is all we need. You know, we could set aside the busyness of ministry here and just focus on Him. That's what we need. Now, those things are important. They're necessary. But you know, we can't lose track of the one needful thing. We can't lose that one thing that's needed in our life and in our church, and that's knowing Jesus Christ. Tonight, would you be humble enough to have that love relationship with Christ restored? That vibrancy with Him brought back into union with Him and that fellowship? Maybe deal with that sin. Maybe deal with that bitterness, that anger, that hatred, that worldliness, that materialistic mindset in your life. Maybe deal with that problem with authority tonight. Deal with it. Surrender to God tonight. Give your life back, put it back on the altar for Him. And start seeking after the one needful thing. And I think God would do a great work in the days ahead. You know, there's a lot of things in place, and if we'd start seeking after the one needful thing, God, I guarantee it, would do some great things through this church. And tonight, let's deal with whatever it is that God's putting His finger on. That one thing that's stealing away our heart. Maybe it's a multitude of things that's stealing and robbing our love for Jesus Christ. And focus back on that one needful thing. Let's pray. Lord, tonight, would You sober us up? Lord, would You convict us of our sin in our life? Lord, would You convict us of whatever it is that is robbing our love for Jesus Christ? God, I pray that You'd have mercy on Your people here tonight. Oh, Lord, that they wouldn't slip out of these doors without having dealt with it, having dealt with that thing that's stealing their love for Jesus Christ. With heads bowed, eyes closed, maybe tonight, is there anybody here that would indicate that God has been putting His finger on something tonight that is robbing your love from Him, for Him? And you have not been seeking after that one needful thing, that relationship with Jesus Christ. And tonight, you're going to repent and turn back to God. And get right back on track where you're supposed to do in that love relationship with Jesus Christ. And just simply by raising your hand, you would indicate that God has worked in your heart here tonight. Anybody? Thank you. You put your hands down. Lord, I pray that You would work in the hearts of these people. Lord, would they humble themselves all the way? Would they acknowledge their need? And God, would You have mercy in their life? Would You show Your grace and Your hand strong in their life? And Lord, we pray that tonight would be a great transition in our church from just surviving and from doing what we're supposed to a vibrancy, to a relationship with Jesus Christ that's evident to everyone. So, Lord, I pray tonight that we would start seeking after that one needful thing in our life. Do the work that You desire to, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.